Thank you very much. Is that on?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is a hospital pass, I reckon. I mean, coming up after Steve and at this end of the day, it feels a bit intimidating, so I'm going to take a deep breath. I feel like I'm standing here with a loaf and a fish. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I pray that you'd make this what you want it to be. Lord, I pray that you'd take that which I have and blow on it. Lord, speak into hearts, I pray. Make this a moment, God, for each of us, that we would come out of here with something fresh from you in Jesus' name. My mother's here.
Yeah.
That's my Margaret. Stand up, Margaret. Mum. Anyway, she doesn't want to stand up. And the loud person is my brother. And it's it's great to have them both here. I was asked to speak on the subject of hearing God in my business. And as I've thought about this, I've come up with two initial impressions. First of all, that the actual title implies compartmentalization. That is, the phrase highlights the basic problem with how we live. That is, God, family, sport, friends, business, church, etc. Secondly, maybe for a lot of you in business, your gifting and your talent can produce, and possibly has already, produces so much success that you are currently and can afford to live, if you like, in isolation, on the basis of, hey, why do I want to complicate my life with too much God stuff? Business is going just fine, thanks. Let's keep it simple. So having said that, I'm going to give you, in the next less than 20 minutes, four examples of, I guess, how I roll in my life, and a quick overview, and then I'd like to pray into you, if that's okay. So, four experiences. I left school, I trained talking about accountants. I trained as a chartered accountant. My mother actually said that it'd be a good job. And I worked for a year as a chartered accountant, and at the end of that year, I seriously considered suicide. we actually need them, but anyway. I was a nominal Presbyterian with just enough God to be dangerous. I spent 3 years of training as a school teacher, 6 years as a sailmaker making sails for yachts, and 3 years selling boats. That brought me to about the age of 35 years old, at which time I was a relatively broke Herald boy with two kids, a mortgage, a wife who was a waitress at Cobb & Co. Who is here? My beautiful wife, Jo. Yeah. So first story, delivering Heralds one morning, I was berated by an elderly gentleman, probably about my age actually, at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was raining, and he said, "You're late." So at that point, I went home, and I just cried. I thought to myself, what am I doing? You know, I'm in trouble. I'm actually going nowhere. So over a cup of tea, I decided to flick open my Bible, which had been unread for some time, to look up some inspiration. And I flicked over to the book of Haggai, and I read, and I'll paraphrase. I encourage you to read the book. It's quite interesting. But it said this: "You've sought much, and it's come to little. I've called for a drought over the labor of your hands. You're putting your wages into a bag with holes." I can't tell you how much that affected me. That really shook me. It was like a shock. It was a serious wake-up call. And in short, I started to redirect my life. I started praying, and I discovered a couple of things. In short, I discovered that tithing was the answer to my bag with holes. We are of Scottish descent, us Toms. We don't like giving money away at all. So that was a tough thing to do, but I began to learn something. It was a watershed moment in my life. Second experience, fast forward 10 years. God ordered my footsteps. I got into real estate. I got an agency license with my business partner, Grant Lynch. We started our own brand. This came on the back of God giving me a direct word, which was go up and possess the land. I'd been wondering what to call the business, and in short, I decided on the name Unlimited Potential. It was only after we decided upon the name that the initials UP stood out as our branding. Then the penny dropped that we were indeed going up to possess the land. Having started with our office in our home, we looked for some premises. And I remember, you know, we were driving around in circles, and I found a hairdressing salon that was upstairs. And anyway, I went up and I thought it'd be a great spot. I said to the girl, you know, do you like hairdressing? Anyway, could I buy your business? And she said, yeah, you can. Look, I'll think about it. She phoned me back and she said, you can buy it. You can have it for $25,000. So I thought, oh, okay, that's a bit rich. I'll think about it. And anyway, she phoned me back and said, look, I've thought about it. You can have it for 10 grand. So I thought, oh, all right, that feels pretty good. I said, look, I'll come back to you. And I did nothing about it for about 3 weeks. And 3 weeks later, I drove up that street and to find that the premises were actually empty. I thought, wow, that's amazing. I knew the landlord. I tracked them down. I said, look, those premises that you've got that are empty, I'd like to take them. He said, absolutely, you can have them. No problem at all. When we signed up the lease, I realized that we were at number 2 Upland Road. Third story. In time, we came to purchase one of our buildings. And it came up for sale in 2008, which was a global financial crisis. It had sat derelict for about 40 years. It was, in fact, the home for the homeless, really. You'd go in there and you'd see fires and people had obviously been living in there. It really was. It was leaking. It was terrible. And it was also a bad time for us to be buying anything. But I really felt very strongly that it was something we should do. On the morning of the auction, I prayed for some time about it without clarity. But I did say to God, look, I don't have peace, and you need to give me something, and I need it now. During my reading for the day, I read out of Isaiah 61, verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, the places long devastated. That was enough for me to go full bore and pay all the money I didn't have to buy that building. It's one of several premises that we own now. And I'd have to say, we've enjoyed incredible success having purchased. Last story. During last year, as a real estate business, we noticed that there was a slowing in the market in residential sales, probably the same way you have. But for me, I actually began to sense that there was more to it than that, as far as we were concerned. I sensed that we were contending, there was a withholding of revenue over our business. You know, you will always examine everything when things aren't going so well, don't you? Like, is it me, is it you, is it the marketing, or like, what is it? We could rationalize why it was tough. We could read the headlines and all that. Anyway, as I prayed over the situation, God gave me a very strong impression that as owners of the business, myself, my wife, and Grant and his wife, should actually take communion in each of our branches and anoint the doorposts with oil and bring God into the situation and speak breakthrough into our situation. I felt that there had been a deliberate withholding, a contention of the heavenlies, if you will, over our money, because we're a kingdom business. We give money, same as you do. Long story short, last month was a record month. Absolute record. It's taught me a massive lesson, huge lesson. So in the matter of hearing God, why should I try to hear God? Well, you know, we're living in a world right now where everything is shifting. Everything's changing. Technology's rampant. There's instability everywhere. It's uncertain times. Hearing God, for me, just gives great confidence. And it brings peace with it. Because the fact is that you and I will be tested on every decision that we make. With every test comes the question, you know, why did we do this? How did we end up in this position? And fundamentally, that needs to come back to, was it a good idea, or actually was it a God idea? And for me, I'm sort of getting too old to have good ideas. I really just want God ideas. God ideas come with great peace. And Steve already spoke about that. But it also allows you to function from a high place, from somewhere outside of the natural. And it just allows you to get rid of that gray zone called double-mindedness. It puts you in a position where you can be unshakable. You know, you understand what's going on, you're aware of what's going on, but I'm not affected. I'm not affected by it. This brings great clarity and peace. Okay, so how do I hear God? Or how do you hear God? Well, if you have Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to you all the time. The only question is, you know, have we put ourselves in a space to listen? To hear, you need to activate your spirit, and that comes down to a choice, not just every day, but every moment of every day. You know, look, I thought Steve's word was fabulous. We all function differently, right? So this is just how I function. It starts for me early in the morning. I need to make a conscious decision to activate my spirit. And I believe that is first thing in the morning. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." Daily readings, as much as time spent in stillness, as much time as you can afford in stillness in the mornings, it's in that space that you learn the act and the art of conversation with God. And that goes from initially maybe, you know, how's the weather and three Hail Marys or something, to more like just a waiting and a listening. Because even if you didn't think you heard anything, just by spending time in that space with the Holy Spirit, you will be impacted. Your heart and your mind will be washed. And from that moment, on that day, your footsteps will be directed. It's in that space that you activate the eye of discernment, which will enable you to see the heart of a matter. You know, sure, there's lots of circumstances going on, but what's actually going on, you know? And we have got that prophetic edge available to us if we want to activate it. I always wait with a pen and paper. I find writing puts a God shape into my thinking. The combination of waiting and writing for me was a spark for confirming God's direction and the beginning of the practicing of the prophetic. And you know, I don't want to digress, but I want to speak a prophetic mantle over each of you. You know, we're in business, but hey, we're in times that are different, and we're going to be asked to rise up and be a lot more than just make a dollar. You each are carrying something that is breathed of God, and there's so much more that God, I think, is expecting of us. I encourage you to journal under the anointing. In other words, have a pen and paper when you're with God. Write down the things that are on your heart. Write the vision, Habakkuk says, and make it plain. In short, for me, hearing God is made up of a number of things. Daily wake-up call decision, a wake-up What do you wake up with? That decision to activate your spirit, that's a choice. And then feeding on his word. During these times of prayer and meditation, God will download creative thoughts for every aspect of your life and your business, not just one or the other. It's all encompassing. We've got to get rid of this compartmentalization and just bring God into who we are, everything we do. Exercising myself in constant prayer, using the language of the Holy Spirit. By the way, if this makes me sound like some spiritual giant, I'm letting you down. I just want to give you my journey. This is where I've ended up because I've got it so wrong and I've skinned my knees and lost money and all that sort of stuff. Now I'm a 65-year-old granddad and I'm just telling you where I've ended up, okay? So I just want to try and keep it real. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you actually should be. By the way, you don't get good enough for that. You just ask for it. You know, and that's not, oh, well, you know, I'm just heavyweight and I can speak in tongues. No, you just need to go from abba-dabba-do and just carry on. But you need to activate that because that gives you constant, real-time access to what God is saying and doing. And I can't tell you the number of times where I've felt the pressure of a particular situation and I've gone to the loo, closed the door and spoken in tongues. Just to slow it down, and get something divine for what comes next. In short, the language of the Holy Spirit is actually heaven's code language, and you might not know what you're saying, but there's something that happens in that. I encourage you to actually activate that. Journaling the journey, we've talked about that. It's clarifying and confirming. By the way, you can't write down what you haven't heard. You know, you won't write anything if you think it's garbage. But you'll be amazed how that works. How do I know if I've heard? Well, number one, you've got to activate just listening. Create space and be still. How often do you do that? Never, right? You never do it. Just creating space to be still is such a powerful thing. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." My sheep, I'm a sheep. I listen. From there, I want to prophesy into my own future. And I want to impart that to you today. The fact that you don't have to be some giant to activate the Holy Spirit in your life and begin to speak your own future, to write the vision, to make it plain, and to activate your own future in God. The Bible says, "I would that you would all prophesy," and we've heard that. God shapes our future. Yes, he does. And as Steve said, you know, there's so many talking heads, so much talk. Talk about this, your opinions, all that sort of thing. But ultimately, our perspective as kingdom business people has to be God-shaped. You know, we need to be able to look and hear and see what's coming down the tubes and over our phones or whatever, and bring a level of discernment to that and make our decision about what that is or isn't, you know what I mean? Rather than being actually steered by it. We should be, as a group of people, and I believe that we've been called, as the Bible describes, like the men of Issachar. They're only mentioned once in the Bible, but they, the Bible says, understood the times and the seasons. That's who we are. We've got that ability to be those people. God speaks through impressions, other people, confirmation, discernment, but mostly by his word. It's a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path. You know, our journal is eternal. It's not just about here and now and what we're doing today and how much money we're making or not. The biggest hindrance to anyone can be money because it actually has the ability to insulate. It has got the ability to create a buffer zone between you and harm, you think. But the fact of the matter is, as Steve pointed out, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But I don't know, certainly my faith, my journey has been a seesaw, you know, good times and bad times. But the bad times, in the bad times, there's my heart cry, you know, I'm on the carpet weeping and crying out to God. And in the good times with too much money, seasons of independence and indulgence and toys, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that sort of stuff. In real terms, for me, as just some bloke, the bad times have been the good times. And God often has allowed, in retrospect, the bad times so that I can create a heart cry, because you cannot fake a heart cry. You can't make that stuff up. You're either a desperate man, and you're either listening, or, you know, you're doing something else. Things I've learned in business. Give me 5 minutes and it's over. There is wisdom in the multitude of counsel, the Bible says. That's true. But if in that multitude of counsel, if there's no one who is a kingdom person that you're listening to, you may not be getting the right advice. Quick example, when I asked three people who, if I told you their names, you would know who they were in this city, whether or not I should be starting a real estate business, they all said, "You are out of your mind. What are you thinking? Starting a business right in the centre of Auckland." The only person in that said it was a good idea was my brother, Murray, who was the only person who said, "You have to do this." Anyway, I acknowledge him today and I thank you for that. God's your banker, your accountant, your lawyer's advice, you know, like we need them. But they need, all their advice needs to be put under the scrutiny of the overlay of the Holy Spirit, fasting and prayer. No professional advice will necessarily have the overlay of a faith ingredient. You know, Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not under your own understanding or theirs. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path." I'm not saying be a loony, crazy Christian that goes out and does stupid things, but all I'm saying is that you just need to get up early. You know, you need to get up early, man, and you need to be getting some stuff from God. There's a Proverbs always also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it's death. So, hey, that seems like a good idea. That might not be good enough. If it's all about money, you'll be consumed by a spirit of mammon without knowing it. You've seen the movie, you know, greed is good and all that. But similarly, you know, I get, you know, profit is good. You go nowhere without profit. Jesus was all about profit. He said, "Hey, listen, here's five. Just go and see what you can do with it. Oh, mate, you got 10. That's awesome. You can have another five. What have you done with your two? Oh, actually, I buried it. I was a bit worried about this and that. Oh, well, thanks very much. You can have it back. I'll take yours. Thank you. And give it to someone else." Profit's good. We are accountable for time and talent. You know, so, yeah. God created everything by his word. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I can't. That's just me. That's how I live now, not then. I didn't start off like this. I started off just getting it all wrong. Through his word, everything that was made was made. Read it, memorize it, speak it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So why am I in business? We're almost there. I was given a word, and I'm responsible for my use of time and talent. And so are you. By the way, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. We need to consider that. I had no formal education, no formal tertiary education. I'd have to say for most of my life I've been quite insecure, fearful, and with quite low expectations. My father, who has passed away, who I loved, was brought up in the Depression. And his father went to what was called debtor's prison in those days. Needless to say, my father was debt-averse. He was risk-averse. He was a careful man. And watching him, I think, maybe made me slightly fearful and probably overly cautious, I don't know. I suffered from a poverty mentality, the fear of failure, and the fear of the future. But today, I'd have to say, after 24 years of profitable business, I've discovered that God is for me. I've also discovered you can't serve two masters. Can't serve God and money. The safeguard to, and the whole money thing, is giving. Giving constantly keeps kingdom priority and the right focus. But more importantly, it qualifies you and I for what the Bible calls true riches. And I guess for me now, that is really what I ask God to show me. What I believe they are is the ability to fully engage with the resources of heaven. The true riches are about us individually functioning in our calling under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Can I just end with this? Oswald Chambers said this: suffering and confusion come when a man's statement of his belief is divorced from his personal relationship to God. And, you know, it's easy to, I don't know, talk the talk, but not really walk the walk. We're in a time where I believe everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's not to say I'm not negative, I'm just aware in my spirit. And so to that extent, what am I doing? I go to work every day, I'm working as hard as I can. I'm still investing, I'm still doing all those things. Having said that, I want my feet, my life, my heart centered on the unshakable rock that is Jesus Christ. I prepare myself every day for that, and I encourage you. I want to pray for three groups of people. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just feel this is what I'd like to do. Those of you who are frustrated, as I have been for many years, you've suffered loss, or you have the fear of loss, the fear of failure, or you're just generally fearful. You're thinking of doing something. Maybe you have talent, but you are suffering from words spoken or past failure, and you're not prepared to do anything. You're stuck. If that's you, can you just open your spirit? Those who at this moment in their business are struggling with a cash flow situation, you're struggling with, I don't know, you're working really hard. You've done a lot of really good things. Maybe you're owed money. It's just not coming through. I'd like to pray over that. And then I'd also like to pray for many of you who are gifted, talented people who are making a ton of money, and you've drifted, you're distracted, and you're not quite in the zone. So could I do that? Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that what has been shared and spoken, if it's a good thing, would just take seat. Lord, I pray for this first group of people who are fearful and shaken. Maybe you've even had words spoken over you. Lord, I break that. I break a spirit of fear. I break words spoken. I break just the sense of looking back. Don't look back any further. The plans that God has for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and give you a hope. From today, from this moment, wait on me, says God. Go into a quiet place, even into my closet, and wait. I want to speak to you from a place of stillness. Those of you who have businesses that are struggling with cash, that there's like a withholding. Father, we just pray right now for that those businesses where there is a cash flow restriction, God, I just pray that you would intervene. Father, that the windows of heaven would open. Father, that there would be a flow of finance starting from today. From this particular moment, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would intervene. And Lord, I pray for the many talented people that are in this room, Father, who are just great people and who are doing well, have money, Lord God, but they're too busy. There's been a busyness in their business that has kept them from understanding the true nature of their calling. Lord, I pray that they too, Lord, that you touch them in a very, very fresh way, and that, Lord, they would come into a new season. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.